Dear reader, welcome to the BookNet Canada podcast. I'm Ainsley Sparks. Everyone is talking about Taylor Swift these days, and call it what you want, but we didn't want to be left out. So we asked Jorin Pintana to come and tell us about her presentation at Swiftposium, an academic conference about all things Swift. Jorin's research was about Taylor Swift's impact on the book industry. Our conversation took place the week before Tortured Poets Department's release, so maybe it hits different now, but let's hear more about it.
Thank you, Jorin, for joining us to talk about two things, one of which is always top of mind to our listeners, the book industry, and the other one is that pop culture phenomenon, which is the popularity of Taylor Swift at this moment. I feel like she's at the height of her popularity. Who can avoid Taylor Swift news these days? So my first question is, how long have you been a Taylor Swift fan?
Absolutely. So I have been a Swiftie since 2006, right from the very beginning. Though I was a casual fan at first, I have grown up into a full-fledged level 13 Swiftie.
So you're here today because we heard that you went to something called Swiftposium. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. Yeah, Swiftposium was an academic conference based on critical dialogues about Taylor Swift, and it was held in Melbourne at the University of Melbourne. And this conference talked about, you know, her popularity and its implications on such a wide range of things like gender issues, fandom, pop culture, literature, economy, music industry, and so much more. And it was organized by six universities, I believe, across Australia and in New Zealand.
Well, and was it the first of its kind?
Yes, it was the very first, I think, all Taylor Swift academic conference. I think there have been a few other academic conferences which have sort of focused on a single celebrity, but I believe this was for sure the first Swiftposium and maybe the first one ever to be all about Taylor Swift.
Did you have any expectations that she might pop by? Because wasn't she in Australia at that point?
She was. It was my dream that she would pop by. I will not lie to you. However, this was also over the Super Bowl. And there was the whole she was in Japan. And then was she going to make it all the way to Vegas in time? So I pretty much knew she wasn't going to be there. However, so the conference was the weekend before she performed in Melbourne. So it was for sure Taylor Swift week in Melbourne. But the organizers actually stated quite explicitly, Taylor Swift will not be there. I think they were actually concerned security purposes that they would get, you know, swarmed with fans.
So your presentation there was on her impact on the book industry. But to me, when I think of Taylor Swift, like, she's not really a celebrity for me as a casual listener, new observer of Taylor Swift. Like, I don't see a connection to books that's very prominent. Like, she's not like a Reese Witherspoon or even like Kaia Gerber, who has her book club. So, like, what am I missing? What is her connection to books?
All right. So, honestly, there's so many things. I can start by saying the reason I started thinking about this was partly this past year, I just finished a Master of Publishing at Simon Fraser University. And this program is sort of a hybrid between a scholarly master's and a professional degree. So that's where I learned a lot of my like hard skills, like publishing hard skills, editing, graphic design, accounting. But we also dove into thinking about publishing from an academic perspective. And the program really encourages you to follow your interests. So of course, I tried to think about, talk about, incorporate Taylor Swift at basically every twist and turn. I can safely say Taylor Swift is my Roman Empire. That is, I think about her at least once a day. And unsurprisingly, it actually wasn't that hard to draw parallels between Swift's career and her music and book publishing. So, for example, in that program, I did a design project where I talked about color, style, and typography choices in Swift's album covers, which, like books, often sets the tone or, you know, communicates the genre of an album the way that a book cover does. So that's sort of how this seed of an idea came up. But then I really started to think about it in a bigger way, in a more meaningful way, when I saw Swiftposium come up as an opportunity. And I was in Australia at the time. So I, as a Swiftie, was like, there's no way I'm missing out on this. Yeah, so for the presentation, I can say the three main things I talked about were book marketing and sales, literature that is being read and written, and then finally, systems within the publishing industry itself and the intersection of Taylor Swift with those things. So, a few examples, I guess I could say. One, I looked at how Taylor Swift's discography and music is used in book displays and book lists to like sell and market books. First of all, there are tons of Taylor Swift book lists curated from books that she has maybe referenced in songs. So an example is the song Tolerate It. She has explicitly said that she was reading and thinking about the book Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier when she wrote that song. So books like that, which she has explicitly talked about, also just books that she has said that she enjoyed or she really likes. She is quite a fan, I think, of T.S. Eliot. She's a big fan of The Great Gatsby. She loves The Great Gatsby. She's talked about it in multiple songs. There are a lot of references there as well. But then also how her discography is being used to kind of connect books to the correct audience. So, for example, like if your favorite album is Fearless, here's five books you have to read. Or, if you love the song Enchanted, you have to read this book. And I sort of delved into how Swift is being used as a point of familiarity, a way to connect with readers through something that they already have a deep love and understanding of. So, for example, for Swifties, if I say this book is giving Red Era, I would immediately picture deep, angsty, manic heartbreak, feeling lost, trying to find yourself, really high highs and really low lows. And that is an incredible way to communicate the mood or tone of your book. And by association, it almost feels like a pseudo endorsement from Swift herself, so building off of her current celebrity as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is there, what were the other two aspects of your paper that you just mentioned?
So, literature that is being read and written, which I sort of touched on. So, for example, I read the book Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier in the context of thinking about the song Tolerate It, not vice versa. So, I picked up, what is considered, a great work of classic literature because of Taylor Swift. So it does bring, I think, a lot of classics into a more modern context and makes them more accessible and younger audiences are wanting to go back to those classics and understand kind of where Swift is coming from a lot of the time. At least that's how I felt. So that, as well as new literature that's being written, because there are, in fact, I discovered for this presentation and this research, books that are written based on Taylor Swift songs. So I know there's a, I think it's a romance, it's called Tis the Damn Season, which is a song off of Swift's Evermore album that is essentially the plot of that song. So somebody has written a full book, but it's like the author is obviously a Swiftie, and then the readers are also meant to be Swifties because it's full of Easter eggs and Taylor Swift references. So it also creates this incredible like fan to fan engagement where new works are being created.
Yeah, that was one of my questions that I had sort of just semi-formed is like a fan fiction angle, right? Because was it 50 Shades of Grey that was the Twilight fan fiction?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't know about any fan fiction for Taylor Swift, and I was assuming there must be some.
Yes, it's definitely, that is definitely coming out, I think, in a more legitimate way. I think, I personally, in the past, the One Direction fan fictions were so popular, but those were never really, published into books, at least not that I'm aware of, in the way that I think this audience, Swifties, also something I talked about in my presentation, Swifties as a market segment are being taken more seriously because the economic power that the Swifties have, we have seen, is insane. And so any industry that can take advantage of that, I think, is and should.
So what kind of things do you think 50s want? Like if you're talking to book publishers, what should they be doing to appeal to this market segment?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the big takeaways, first of all, is just having, because Swifties are primarily, and I don't want to generalize because I know it is truly like a multi-generational group because it's so massive, but often it is young women. And a lot of the times we see that what young women want is maybe not always taken seriously or considered, good or valid. And so seeing, I think that Swifties as a market, are deeply engaged, are loyal, and have such notable cultural influence, it's such an ideal market to tap into. And I think we're seeing, so one thing that I did talk a little bit about is Taylor Swift and Book Talk. Because there's such an overlap, I think, between Book Talk communities and between like Swiftie communities, especially on social media platforms. There's, I think, an article by Dan Seed in the University of Queensland's Contact magazine where he says the majority of Book Talk creators are young and female. Recommended genres are overwhelmingly dominated by popular romance, young adult titles, and self-help books. And the breathless, emotion-driven reviews are set to music by Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, and Lana Del Rey. So seeing, the compatibility of kind of, I want to say maybe like cross-pollinating between these communities, TikTok is incredibly compatible with the reader and Swiftie communities alike. We've seen the popularity and the extreme power of Book Talk, but it's also the themes that are compatible because at the intersection, I think, of these two communities, it's usually young women who are extremely passionate about the things that they love, whether that's Taylor Swift or the latest romantasy read.
So when you were developing this presentation for Swiftposium, what kind of research did you delve into?
Yeah, so a lot of it was taking what I knew about publishing and then what I knew about Taylor Swift and trying to draw connections. So very theoretical at this early stage. I would sort of be looking for specific examples where publishing and Taylor Swift intersect and then dissecting that on a critical level. So for example, the speculation, which I had just heard about more as a Swiftie, the speculation around the 4C Untitled Flatiron Nonfiction Summer 2023 book. Did you ever hear about this? Yeah.
But didn't it turn out to be the BTS book?
It did. It turned out to be the BTS book. But it was, I think, the Swifties primarily who really drove it to popularity and kind of put it in the media at first. So I guess for our listeners who don't know, there was a book in May of 2023 that nobody knew anything about, including who the author was, who hit several bestseller lists. And the book just had this placeholder title called 4C Untitled Flatiron Nonfiction Summer 2023. And it came
Catchy.
up, yeah, oh, love it. It came up because it was said to be, a much anticipated celebrity memoir. And then there were all these details. The author was going to be revealed on June 13th, and 13 is a Swiftie number. The memoir was said to have 400 or 544 pages, and 5 + 4 + 4 is 13. And the release date was set for July 9th, which is a Taylor Swift reference to her song Last Kiss off the Speak Now album. So Swifties were like, what if this is Taylor Swift's book? And started buying it, even though they didn't, it wasn't even confirmed yet. And it actually hit a couple bestseller charts, I think. In the top 10 of the Amazon book sales chart, and it was even number one on the Barnes and Noble's pre-order chart. Yeah. So kind of crazy that just the mere association with Taylor Swift can send a book, through the roof before anybody knows anything about it. And then even once it was revealed that it was the BTS book, there are many, many articles, and they're all saying, so Taylor Swift didn't write this book. So even though it was revealed that she had nothing to do with it, she was still the hook that was being used to talk about it.
That makes me think about Taylor Swift and her Easter eggs, right? Like, because as you just said, the Swifties, they latched onto these details where you need to maybe do a little bit of work to like align it with Taylor Swift, right? Like the adding the three numbers to get 13. And recently, I just saw a video about the album that is due to release on Friday, I think.
Yes, the Tortured Poets Department.
That's it. And she just released a video with like the clocks are all set to two, and she held up two fingers when she announced the album. And so people
Yes,
are
you're on
thinking that
it.
she's gonna drop two albums, or she's gonna drop the album and a book of poetry was one of the theories I heard. And I just thought this level of like detective work, makes me think that Swifties are like a prime market for mystery novels. Like they seem like they could really be into that genre, but it might just be all Taylor Swift mysteries. Like they might, I don't know. Is there any like crossover there that you are
Yes,
aware of?
definitely yes. First of all, Taylor Swift is a huge fan of true crime. She said this, she loves true crime podcasts. We see it a little bit in songs like No Body, No Crime. And so I definitely think yes, because I think Swift herself pulls from those things that she likes. I think she likes crime and mystery and thrillers, which then she puts into her marketing and her fan engagement. And so, first of all, I think there is already this sort of subtext of Swifties being these masterminds, these problem solvers. We even, Argyle, the book, was theorized at one point to be potentially written by Taylor Swift. So I definitely agree that there is some crossover there. And I think it's maybe not even just the mystery thriller, but the all-encompassing, nature of the business, I guess. So it's not just about Swift's music, it's her lyrics, it's also her engagement with her fans on social media, it's what she says in her appearances, it is what she wears, it's the number of fingers that she holds up just casually, all that's so crazy. And I do think we see a similar thing in book fandoms as well, especially in, I'm currently in the Mass verse very much, the Sarah J. Mass books, and in a romantic-y era personally. And I see a lot of similarities in those books where you see fans hunting for one-off lines that then are a callback to an earlier series even, or an earlier book. And so that kind of fan engagement and that kind of all-encompassing like way to enjoy or absorb music or a
Or
book.
feel connected to
Yes.
because you're uncovering something that takes a little bit of effort, right? So you feel more connected to the thing that you discover through your sleuthing.
Absolutely. And I don't think that is necessarily limited to a specific genre, but we do see it, more in certain genres than others.
Do you think that there's more research in your future about Taylor Swift and the book industry?
I certainly hope so. I think, there's so much that we can learn from her as an artist, as a writer, as a business person. When I was at this conference, I actually had some conversations with scholars there about potentially pursuing a PhD in this area, which I would absolutely love to do. So I hope, yes, because there's so much that I didn't even get into exploring. I don't even think I touched on, Taylor Swift and industry. I touched on it a little bit in Swiftposium, but not even, I think I just scratched the surface. So yes, the short answer is yes, I hope so.
So we're recording this before her album drops, but this podcast is going to be released afterwards. So it's maybe fraught to make some predictions about the release, but I think it's a San Francisco Public Library had the library installation, the Tortured Poets Department Library
Yes, yep, I think that's right. Yeah.
installation. And I mean, that's a very clear connection. Taylor Swift and the library is very much Taylor Swift and books. Do you think that there's more book-related stuff in her future? Do you think she will ever write a book, release a book of poetry?
I certainly hope so. I think that she will eventually write a book. This is truly a fan theory as well, because there are some hints in, for example, the All Too Well 10-minute version of the music video. She plays an author in that, and she writes a book about her experiences in as the character in the music video, who is also sort of herself. So there's that. There's also in the Eras Tour itself, the song Seven is converted into like a spoken word poetry. So I think there are some hints. I personally think yes, every poet that I know has lost their minds over this being the Tortured Poets Department. It's such a great way to shine light on poetry, and I think that we're going to see more like poetry based on Taylor Swift or based on this album. It is hard to predict because truly, I mean, I, among many other people, thought that she was going to announce Reputation, Taylor's version, and then nope, whole new album. So she certainly likes to subvert expectations. But I think that the very specific link to poetry in this album, which she has played off of in a lot of the marketing and lead up to the release, is just going to open some doors for that, genre to begin with, which I think is amazing. And I hope it's a hint for more book-oriented things from her in the future.
I mean, the publishing industry certainly hopes that as well. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be really interesting actually, now that you mention it, to see the poetry category. Have there been any increases in poetry book sales since she released the album, or since she announced the album?
Absolutely. I have already seen, as I said, some book lists and book displays, like 5 books of poetry you have to read before the Tortured Poets Department is released. And I do think at her core, Taylor Swift is a book nerd. And so I think that as she has grown as an artist and has been allowed the creative freedom to dive more deeply into what she wants and like the what she wants to create versus what she has to create in order to maintain success, we are going to see, more interesting things come out of her. I mean, we already have Folklore and Evermore being suddenly, I would say, much more literary albums compared to some of her earlier works. And I'm very hopeful that we're going to have that come back.
Well, thank you again. This was great.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun. I love to talk about, well, both book publishing and also about Taylor Swift. So, a dream.
This interview made me curious about the sales of poetry titles in Canada after Taylor announced the album at the 2024 Grammy Awards. So I've put together a short exploration on the BookNet blog, which I'll link to in the show notes if you're curious too. It's time to go, but thank you, Jorin, for joining us. Before I go, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that BookNet Canada's operations are remote, and our colleagues contribute their work from the traditional territories of the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabe, the Haudenosaunee, the Wyandot, the Mi'kmaq, the Ojibwe of Fort William First Nation, the Three Fires Confederacy of First Nations, which includes the Ojibwe, the Odawa, the Potawatomi, and the Métis, the original nations and peoples of the lands we now call Beaton, Brampton, Guelph, Halifax, Thunder Bay, Toronto, Vaughan, and Windsor. We encourage you to visit the native-land.ca website to learn more about the peoples whose land you are listening from today. Moreover, BookNet endorses the calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada and supports an ongoing shift from gatekeeping to space-making in the book industry. We'd also like to acknowledge the Government of Canada for their financial support through the Canada Book Fund. And of course, thanks to you for listening.